Well, brothers and sisters, tonight we come to Psalm 119, and this is the longest psalm among all the psalms. It's 176 verses long. So you need to pray for me because I need to cover 176 verses in one message. I was really before the Lord about this word, and what came to me is 1 Timothy 4:13. Attend to the public reading of the scriptures. And so we will read a lot of the verses from Psalm 119, but I do have some particular things that I would like to share with us that I think, I hope that will be quite valuable to us for our future in the Lord. The first thing is this, brothers and sisters, is Psalm 119 is composed of 22 sections. And these 22 sections correspond to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each section has 8 verses. So if you multiply 22 times 8, you come up with 176 verses. Each verse within each section begins with the Hebrew letter of that section. So it is a masterpiece of poetry, of divine and mystical poetry, which we will talk about what this, the significance of this. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I would just say this before we read the title of the message. What we see in this psalm is that Christ is the reality of the law. He's the reality of the law, which is God's living word, to infuse his living substance into his loving seekers. I'd like to say that again. Christ is the reality of the law as God's living word to infuse his living substance into his loving seekers. Now, are you a loving seeker?
Amen.
We all want to be his loving seekers, and we want to know Christ as the reality of the law, who is God's living word to infuse his living substance into us as his loving seekers. Now, you have 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet here to convey this thought of Christ, again, as the reality of the law, who is the living word of God, to infuse his loving substance into us as his loving seekers. There's another place in the scriptures, and I want you to follow me here, kind of launching out here into kind of new territory. I need you to stand with me here, looking to the Lord for some utterance. But there's another place in the scriptures which talks about the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And that is in Exodus 28 with the breastplate. With the breastplate, we know the breastplate of the high priest has it has a rows of three, four rows of three, with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on those stones. When you look at the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on those stones, you have 18 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Well, to make up the other four letters, something was added to that breastplate called the Thummim. Thummim means completers or perfecters, which signifies Christ as our completer and as our perfecter. So when you add the Thummim to all those 18 letters of the Hebrew alphabet with all the 12 tribes on the breast of the high priest, you have the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet there. Also, another thing was inserted into the breastplate, and that was the Urim. And Urim means lights or illuminators. So when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, that breastplate was like a divine and mystical heavenly typewriter. And I can't get into all you can study the breastplate. We could have a whole conference probably just on the breastplate of the high priest. But I would like to say this. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, you know, you have the light shining on those stones. You have those with the Urim. You have the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet with the Thummim. And he went in there with all 12 tribes of the children of Israel on his breast. When we go into the Holy of Holies, mostly we go in with one stone and it says me on it. But the high priest went in with the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And saints, of course, this is Christ. He's our great high priest. But I would just like to apply it this way. In our oneness with Christ, we need to go into the Holy of Holies with all the saints on our breast of love. And we need to intercede for them. And we need to read the breastplate. Read the saints. We read the saints. They signify those stones with those 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And we need to read them. And then we come out of the Holy of Holies with a living message for God's people to meet their need. Do you see this? And saints, what that living message does, it may be some direction, some concrete direction that we're giving to someone. It may be some particular leading we have for someone, some practical fellowship we have for someone. But whatever practical fellowship we have, whatever particular leading we have to share with that person or persons, has to be the living Word of God, infusing God's living substance into those loving seekers whom we are caring for. Do you see this? This is Psalm 119 of 22 sections with 22 letters, and this is the breastplate of 22 letters with the Thummim and the Urim. Now I'll just say that much. I hope you got that. Did you get that? Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, it'll be typed out. It'll be a ministry magazine. Saints, again, when we go into the Holy of Holies, we need to read the breastplate. And when we read the breastplate, we need to come out with God's living Word infused into our being, so that we can infuse His living Word into His loving seekers. Infuse His living Word with His living substance into His loving seekers to make them Zion, the reality of the body of Christ, the body of overcomers that will be His prepared bride to bring Him back. And that is Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is composed of 176 verses, divided into the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, right, just like the breastplate, in eight sections. You have eight verses in each section. Eight verses in each section. And when you multiply all that together, you get 176 verses. Now again, these 176 verses show us Christ as the reality of the law, who is God's living Word to infuse His living substance into His loving seekers. Now, as we go through the outline, we will see this. We will see this. Now, firstly, I would like to read a footnote to you, and that is Exodus 20, verse 1, note 1. And this is a very good footnote. It says, "The law of God is God's Word." In chapter 34, 28 of Exodus, the Ten Commandments, the main contents of the law, are called the Ten Words. They're not called the Ten Commandments, they're called the Ten Words. As such, the law is God's testimony, God's expression, a revelation of God to His people. The law of God reveals God's attributes, showing that He is jealous, loving, righteous, truthful, and pure. As the Word of God and the testimony, the expression of God, The law is a type of Christ as God's word and God's testimony, God's expression. And we will see in a minute, not only is the law a type of Christ, Christ is the reality of the law itself. The reality of keeping the law is to live God and express God. Such a living in the eternal economy of God, is the living of a God-man. A life of continually denying the self and being crucified to live Christ, who is God's testimony, by the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ for the enlarged and expanded expression of God. So we have the law as God's testimony, and we have Christ as God's testimony. Christ is God's living testimony. So He is the reality of the law. The law is called the testimony. The law is the portrait of God. Christ is the living portrait of who God is. So you have the testimony put in the ark. That's why the ark is called the ark of the testimony. And you have the ark put in the tabernacle, and that is why the tabernacle is called the tabernacle of the testimony. If you want to look at these verses later, the ark of the testimony is in Exodus 25, verse 22, and Exodus 26, verses 33 and 34. Then you have the tabernacle of the testimony. This is in Exodus 38, 21. Exodus 38, 21. Right now, let's come to Roman numeral 1. And Roman numeral 1 says, in Psalm 119, Christ is the reality of the law. A says, Christ is the reality of the law as the testimony of God, the expression of God. The testimony of God signifies Christ, the embodiment of God, as the living portrait of what God is. I love this. Christ is the living portrait of what God is. He is the testimony of God, just as the law is the testimony of God. B, Christ is the reality of the law as the Word of God, signifying Christ as the living Word of God breathed out by Him. And we just pointed out from the footnote that the Ten Commandments are called the Ten Words. The Ten Words. So Christ is the reality of the law as the Word of God, signifying Christ as the living Word of God breathed out by Him. One says the written words are the letters, but the living Word is the Spirit, who is the reality of the letters. Praise the Lord for the Spirit, who is the reality of the letters. Now the law is the person of Christ, and the person of Christ is the Spirit. Then 3 says the Spirit is the reality of whatever God is. Hence, as the Spirit, Christ is the reality of the law. And I enjoy John 16:13. It says that He's the Spirit of reality, and when He comes, He will guide us into all the reality. So He will guide us into all that Christ is as the living portrait of what God is. Now 2 says there are two aspects of the law. The aspect of the letter and the aspect of the Spirit as the reality of God's blessings. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says that God has made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives Zoe. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives eternal life. The Spirit gives the divine life. The Spirit gives the indestructible life. The Spirit gives the life who is Christ Himself. But the letter kills. So we don't want anything to do with the letter. We want the Spirit who gives life. Then, of course, Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, A says, if our attitude in coming to the law is to care for the commandments and letters, we will have the law in the aspect of the killing letter. B says, however, if we take every part of the law, all the commandments, ordinances, statutes, precepts, and judgments, as the word breathed out by the God, praise the Lord, the God whom we love.
Amen.
We will have the law in the aspect of the life-giving Spirit. And if you look at Psalm 119, you have all these different terms for the law as God's word. Commandments, ordinances, statutes, precepts, judgments, testimonies, different words to show the law as the living word of God. Now, there are two aspects of the function of the law. Firstly, A says the law has a negative aspect. One says, as God's commandments, the law exposes man's sin and subdues sinners before God. When you look, when you're a fallen human being and you look at a living portrait of what God is, it exposes who you are in your fallen nature. So Romans 7:7b says, I did not that they might be conducted to Christ. So on the one hand, the law subdues us, it exposes our sin. On the other hand, it acts as a child conductor, according to Galatians 3:23-24, to conduct us to Christ as the living portrait of what God is. Oh, I just love this person who is the living portrait of what God is. He's not just a photograph of God. He is a living photograph of God. He's the living person of God. See what I mean? This photograph, this portrait is living. He's alive. Now, the law has a positive aspect. And this positive aspect is for God's loving seekers. Saints, we need to pray, Lord, save me from being a letter keeper. And make me a loving seeker. Now, one says, as God's living word, the law functions to minister the living God to His seekers. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, and saints, I just pray that you would treasure these words that I'm reading to you in Psalm 119. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 119, feel free. We're going to read a number of verses from there. They are very, very precious. You know, I would even say this before I start. You know, we've shared this before, but you know, in Deuteronomy 17, this is verses 18 through 20. It says, it talks about the setting of a king over the people. And whenever the children of Israel were to set a king over the people, the king was supposed to do something. It says, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write out for himself a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the Levitical priests. Can you imagine? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He had to write out his own personal copy of the Pentateuch. Now, if I gave you that assignment, and I gave you my pen, and I said, I want you to write out your own personal copy of the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I want you to write out your own personal copy, and listen, and it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life. Now, if you wrote out your own personal copy of the Pentateuch, do you think you would get one thing? Surely you would get something, right? Something would strike you. Something would turn into rhema in your being. Right? You see what I mean? And then it says, he should do this in order that he may learn to fear Jehovah his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, so that his heart may not be lifted up among his brothers. That keeps him humble. And so that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left. In other words, it keeps him in the central lane of God's economy. Because he wrote out a copy, his personal copy, of the Word of God, and he read in it all the days of his life.
Amen.
And that he and his sons may extend their days over the kingdom in the midst of Israel.
Amen.
I just tell you, saints, Lord cover me, maybe Lord cover me. Anyway, you know, I'll just tell you, in my journal, these verses in Psalm 119, I wrote them all out longhand. I wrote them all. I tell you, if you do this, it'll revolutionize you. Would anyone, if there's one person that would do this, I will be ecstatic. Maybe you don't like to use a pen, use your computer. You can do that, right? Chris, you can do that, right? Will you do it? Amen, brother. Okay, I got one person. I believe in your amen. Okay. I have the ground to ask Chris that. Okay. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. Then you have Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. And in Joshua 1:8, the Lord tells Joshua, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." It shall not from your brain, from your mouth. In other words, you need to speak this word. "But you shall muse upon it day and night." We'll talk about musing. Musing is to speak the word. It's not something, it's not meditation in the sense that you just think about it and then you fall asleep while you're thinking about it. But you pray over it. You muse on it. You chew the cud. "He muses upon it day and night, so that you may be certain to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Then the Lord tells Joshua this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and take courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for I am with you wherever you go." Now you look at the note here, it says Joshua was to be occupied with God's word and let the word occupy him. By being occupied and filled with the word, he would have prosperity and success in taking the God-promised land. We need to allow the word to occupy us, and we need to be occupied by the word. Okay, it says, let me go on. Psalm 192. 119 verse 2. "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. Enliven me according to your loving kindness, and I will keep the testimony of your mouth." Listen, this is the word, but this is God also. You see this? God is the one who enlivens us. God is the one we're seeking with all our heart. Saints, the one antidote to all our problems is God Himself.
Amen.
And we can find God Himself in His Word. And when we get in His Word and allow His Word to get into us, He becomes practical, present, enjoyable, and available to us. Now 2 says, "As God's living Word, the law functions to dispense God Himself as life and light into those who love the law." Psalm 119 verse 25 says, "My soul clings to the dust. Enliven me according to your word." Again, that word enliven means give me life. Has your soul ever clung to the dust? Of course it has. Right? What should you do? Just stay there in the dust? You should say, "Enliven me according to your word." Psalm 119 verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has enlivened me." Again, given me life. "I have been greatly afflicted. O Jehovah, enliven me according to your word." Psalm 119, verse 6, 116. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Verse 130. The opening of your words gives light, imparting understanding to the complicated.
No.
To the who?
To the simple,
right. Verse 154. Plead my case and redeem me. Enliven me according to your word. As God's living word, the law functions to restore man's soul and make man's heart joyous. Psalm 19, 7 and 8 say, the law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. Haven't you got into the word and the word restored your soul? Hasn't that happened to you at least once? The testimony of Jehovah is faithful, making the simple wise. The precepts of Jehovah are right, making the heart joyous. You know, if our joy level is down, that means our getting into the Word is lacking. Because when we get into the Word, we allow the Word to get into us. It makes our heart joyous. The commandment of Jehovah is clear, enlightening the eyes. As God's living word, the law functions to bring us salvation. Verse 41 says, may your loving kindness also come to me, O Jehovah, your salvation according to your word. Verse 170, let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Then number 5, as God's living word, the law functions to strengthen, comfort, and nourish us. Isn't this wonderful? God's living word can strengthen us, comfort us, and nourish us. Verse 28 says, my soul melts because of grief. What should we do when our soul is melting? You know, the psalmist was very sincere. He wasn't faking it, right? You know, you can't fake it with God. You can't say, oh, my soul is wonderful. He'll say, no, it's not. It's melting with grief. You just better tell him how you feel. My soul is melting because of grief. So what should our response be? Our response should be, strengthen me according to your word. Let your loving kindness, I beseech you, be my comfort according to your word to your servant. That's verse 76. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. 6, as God's living word, the law functions to uphold us, keep us safe, and cause us to hope. Verses 116 and verse 117 say, uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up that I may be safe. How about that? Hold me up, Lord, that I may be safe, and I will regard your statutes continually. Saints, I love Psalm 119, verse 49. Has anyone in here ever had a problem remembering God's word? Like Dick goes like this, right? Okay. But you know what this verse says, verse 49? It says, remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. In other words, he's asking the Lord to remember the word for him. This is the memory of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, the Spirit reminds us of all the words that the Lord spoke to us. So saints, we need to pray this. If you're giving a prophecy, you're speaking for the Lord, you're taking care of some young people, you're taking care of a new one, say, Lord, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. 7, as God's living word, the law causes us to enjoy God as our portion. Verse 57 says, Jehovah is my portion, I have promised to keep your words. As God's living word, the law causes us to enjoy God's countenance and the shining of His face. I entreated your favor, or you can say face, with my whole heart. You see, the psalmist, he isn't half-hearted here. He said, I entreated your face with my whole heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. Cause your face to shine on your servant and teach me your statutes. As God's living word, the law causes us to enjoy God as our hiding place and shield. and also enjoy God's help and well-dealing. Verse 1:14 says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. In your word do I hope." Verse 1:75 says, "Let my soul live, and it will praise you. And let your ordinances help me." Verse 65, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Jehovah, according to your word." As God's living word, the law functions to make us wise and give us understanding. I like these verses, 98 and 99. "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are always with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my musing." Everyone in school needs to know this verse. "I have more insight than all my teachers, for your test." Don't tell your teachers that. Just take care of the reality. "For your testimonies are my musing." Okay, 11, as God's living word, the law functions to give us proper discernment and knowledge. Verse 66 says, "Teach me proper discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments." As God's living word, the law functions to keep us from sinning and from every evil way. "In my heart, I have treasured up your word." Oh, saints, I love this. How about in our heart, let's treasure up His word, that I might not sin against you. Verse 101, "I have withheld my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word." Then I love 13. I really love 13. As God's living word, the law keeps us from stumbling, establishes our footsteps, and causes us to overcome iniquity. Now listen to these verses. Verse 165. "There is great peace for those who love your law." That's the word. You can put the word there as a synonym for law. "There is great peace for those who love the law as your word." Do you want to have great peace? Then we need to love God's word. "And there is no occasion of stumbling for them." The saints, we need to pray verse 133. This verse says, "Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me." Pray that prayer. "Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me." Okay, C says, "Whether in our experience the law is positive or negative depends on the condition of our heart in receiving the law." Now, saints, I jotted down some points that I'm burdened to share with you. And these points have to do with our failing to receive help when we come to the Word. Why do we fail to receive help when we come to the Word? We may come to the Word a lot, but we receive no help. Why do we receive no help? Well, basically, I would say the first thing has to do with our heart. Has to do with our heart. Number one, no exercise of heart. If we don't exercise our heart, we won't receive help when we come to the Word. Although we may read the Word, perhaps out of a sense of duty, we may not have a heart for the Word. We may not have a heart from the Word, so we won't receive the blessings that come from the Word. Two, we may have a divided heart. A young person may love many different things. This causes his heart to be divided. Whenever your heart is divided, reading the Word will not help you. If you come to the Word half-heartedly or with a divided heart, saints, don't come to the Word half-heartedly. Don't come with a divided heart. If you do, you will not receive blessing from the Word. Whenever we come to the Bible, we must come with a whole heart and a single heart. We read verse 2 where the psalmist says, "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart." See, we have to seek Him with all their heart. Now, number 3 is even worse. It's a lack of heart. This is a very serious problem. When many Christians come to the Bible, they are like dead wood. dead wood. They don't even have a heart for the word. So they don't receive any help when they come to the word. Now, number four, there can be coverings, hindrances, and frustrations when we come to the word. Any problem with the heart is related to things that cover you, that separate you from the Lord, or that frustrate your contact with the Lord. There may be a certain sin that besets you, that captures you, and possesses you, a sin that you are not willing to confess. If you're not willing to confess a certain sin, you won't get any help when you come to the Word. Now, what's an example of this? If someone has offended us and we are unwilling to forgive this offense, this is a sin. If you've been offended and you're unwilling to forgive that offense, that's a sin. And because you're unwilling to forgive that offense, you won't receive any help when you come to the Word. We may not be willing to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, to be subdued by Him, or to be convinced by Him. If we don't consecrate our whole lives to the Lord, if we're not willing to be subdued by Him and convinced by Him, we won't receive any help when we come to the Word. We need to deal with anything in our heart that is negative or that causes separation between us and the Lord. And this is why, again, saints, we need to pray that prayer and that hymn, "Nothing between, Lord, nothing between." Emmy Barber said this. She said, "Even a small leaf can hide a bright star." Even a small leaf can hide a bright star. Likewise, even a small matter can prevent us from receiving blessing from the Bible. So we need to pray there'd be nothing between us and the Lord. And saints, this fifth point really touches me. The Bible demands that we humble ourselves and put aside our self-confidence and self-assurance. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian, how long we've been in the recovery, we will not get anything from the Word if we don't humble ourselves when we come to the Word, and if we don't put aside our self-confidence and our self-assurance. When we come to the Word, we shouldn't say, "Oh, I've heard that. Oh, I've seen that. Oh, I know that. Oh, I've done that. Oh, I've been there." Well, we may as well have a funeral for you. We need to humble ourselves. We need to say, "Lord, I humble myself when I come to your word. I put aside my self-confidence, my self-assurance." We need to pray that the Lord would have mercy on us when we come to the word. And don't presume to have the assurance that there are no problems between you and the Lord. Don't presume to have this assurance. We simply don't have the ground for this kind of assurance. You know, James 4:6 says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We may love the Lord without ever having humbled ourselves before Him. Saints, humble yourselves before the Lord, especially when you come to the Word. Now, this is number six. This is related to this. The reason why you do not receive light from the Word may be that you have too much confidence in yourself. We should say, "Lord, I do not have any confidence in myself, and I do not insist on anything. Lord, I open to you, and I ask you to have mercy on me." If this is your attitude in coming to the Bible, you will receive blessing from the Word. The crucial matter is that you humble yourself before the Lord. Now listen to what Brother Lee said. This is what he said. He said, "In my experience, I have found that whenever I humble myself, do not insist on any opinion, and ask the Lord for His mercy, I have the sense that I come into a realm of light when I come to the Word." So we need to follow our brother's example. Now lastly, this is the seventh point. When we come to the Word of God, we need to open our entire being. We need to use our whole being, our body, our soul, and our spirit. We use our eyes to read the words. We use our mouth to sound out the words. We also use our mind, the main part of the soul, to understand what we read. We may need to use lexicons, concordances, and different versions and translations of the Bible. The study of the Bible also requires the exercise of our emotion to love the Word, and the exercise of our will to take God's way in His Word. This is to exercise our soul. But finally, we also need to exercise our spirit. Primarily, this is to pray so that our inner man will be strengthened. If we use our whole being in contacting the Word, we shall receive light and life supply. I think these points are very helpful and very precious, saints. And I would just like to repeat again, let's all humble ourselves when we come to the Word. Have no self-confidence, no self-assurance, and open our whole being to Him so that we can receive new light. Now that brings us to want to see whether in our experience the law is positive or negative depends on the condition of our heart in receiving the law. If we love God, humble ourselves, and regard the law as His living Word through which we contact Him and abide in Him, the law will become a channel through which the divine life and substance are conveyed to us for our supply and nourishment. Being infused with God's substance through the law as God's Word, we will become one with God in life, nature, and expression, and will spontaneously live a life that expresses God and corresponds to His law. This is to become Zion. This is to become the reality of the body of Christ, to become the same as God in life, nature, and expression, but not in the Godhead. However, if in coming to the law we do not seek God in love, but rather separate the law from the living God as the source of life, the law which was intended to result in life, but cannot give life of itself, will become a condemning and killing element to us. Since we know John 5:39-40, the Lord said, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have life. But it is these that testify concerning me. And yet you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Don't divorce the Lord from the Scriptures. Every time you come to the Bible, come to the Lord Jesus so that you can receive life from the Word. Okay, we talked about 2 Corinthians 3:6, that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You know, I have Exodus 23:19b here with a note, and it says this: "You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk." And you may think, well, what in the world does this have to do with this? You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. You know, a kid is a baby goat, right? Well, what this means is, a kid is a new one. And what should you do with the milk of the Word? You should feed that new one with the milk of the Word. You shouldn't boil the new one with the milk of the Word. But many times we do this. The milk of the Word of God, the life supply of Christ, should be used to nourish new believers in Christ and not to kill them. But if we make the Word the law to the new ones, you see, we make it something of the letter, then we are boiling them in milk instead of feeding them with milk. Don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. I like that. You can read the footnote on that too. Okay, Roman numeral 4, there are two kinds of people in relation to the law. The first kind is the letter keepers illustrated by the Judaizers and Saul of Tarsus. The second kind is the God-seekers, illustrated by the psalmist, especially by the writer of Psalm 119 and by the Apostle Paul. And so under B, we have all these points about the God-seekers, God's loving seekers. It says they seek God with all their heart. We talked about that. 2 says they love God's name and remember it. Verse 132 says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom with those who love your name." You see, we can't let a verse like this go. We need to pray, "Lord, make me a person who loves your name. Turn to me and be gracious to me, Lord, as is your custom." This is your custom. This is your habit with those who love your name. Verse 55, "I have remembered your name in the night, O Jehovah, and have kept your law," or kept your word. What do we remember in the night? What do you remember when you wake up in the night? Do you remember the Lord's name? You know, when I read a lot of these verses, I have to confess, Lord, forgive me. I wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes I remember a piece of pie in the refrigerator. Terrible. That happened the other night, that's why I'm thinking about that. Oh, Lord Jesus. Saints. Okay, forget about the pie. But saints, seriously, just consider in the Lord's presence, how much do we remember the Lord's name in the night? We wake up and we say, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Or are we concerned? You see what I mean? Sometimes we wake up and sometimes we just say, oh, no, I can't go back to sleep. Instead of remembering the Lord's name, first thing. Number three, they entreat God's face. Number four, they ask for God's face to shine on them. Number five, they walk in God's presence. The psalmist said in 168, I have kept your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. That means he walked in God's presence. They consider God's law to be God's word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Verse 18 says this, saints, we need to pray this. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Oh, I love that. Saints, we should pray this. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. You know, again, using the word as a synonym for law, which it is here as a loving seeker. We need our eyes open to behold wondrous things out of the Lord's word. Praise the Lord. Isn't it the mercy of the Lord that the Lord has opened our eyes in this training?
Amen.
So we could behold wondrous things out of his word?
Amen.
Then verses 28 through 29 say, my soul melts because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of falsehood and graciously grant me your law. 7 says, God's word is sweeter than honey to their mouth. 8 says, God's word is more precious than fine gold to them. Verse 127 says, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, indeed more than fine gold. You know, the psalmist was not exaggerating here. This was not hyperbole to him. He really loved God's word more than gold and more than fine gold. And we need to be the same way. 9 says, God's word is a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. Okay, now we come to the last Roman numeral, Roman numeral 5. And I would like to read a lot of these verses to you from Roman numeral 5. I think that's the last Roman numeral. Yes, it is. Roman numeral 5. Okay. And he says, they choose God's word. Verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Your ordinances I have set before me. Saints, it is a great privilege for me to read the Bible to you.
Amen.
I hope you love the Bible.
Amen.
We need to love the Lord and love the Bible.
Amen.
We need to be his loving seekers. We need to take Christ as the reality of the law, as God's living word to infuse his living substance into us as his loving seekers.
Amen.
Right? And what we're looking at here is the functions and blessings of God's law as his living word to his loving seekers. Okay, verse 173 says, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Then B says, they believe God's word. Teach me proper discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. I like C. They lift up their hand to God's word, indicating that they receive the word of God warmly and gladly and say amen to it.
Amen.
Saints, I really mean this. Sometime in your personal time with the Lord, you will be in the Word, and the Word will just jump out of you and be real to you and will become rhema to you, and you'll just lift up your hand to that Word. I mean, you literally do it. Don't think that's Pentecostal. It's Pentecost. I really mean it. And say amen to it.
Amen.
It says, I will lift up my hand to your commandments, which I love. Nehemiah 8, 5 and 6 says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. He was on a stand that they built. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed Jehovah, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped Jehovah with their faces to the ground. Wonderful. D, they love God's Word. Saints, look at all these verses on loving God's Word. Verses 47 and 48. I will take delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hand to your commandments, which I love, and I will muse upon your statutes. Then verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. All day long it is my musing. Saints, how about this? We need the light to shine on us. Surely we love the Lord's Word. I believe every one of us in here loves the Lord's Word. But is it our musing all day long? We need to pray, Lord, cause me to love your Word to this extent that all day long it would be my musing. Verse 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. Verse 119, you do away with all the wicked ones of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. Your testimonies are your words. Verse 127, therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, indeed more than fine gold. And I love verse 140. Your word is very pure, and your servant loves it. There are two pure items in this universe, the triune God and his word. Your word is very pure, and your servant loves it. Verse 159, see how I have loved your precepts. O Jehovah, enliven me according to your loving kindness. Verse 163, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Verse 165, there is great peace for those who love your law, and there is no occasion of stumbling for them. We read this verse. Verse 167, my soul has kept your testimonies, and I love them very much. Then they delight in God's word. Verse 16, I will take delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. How about that? I will take delight in your statutes. I won't forget your word. I will keep your word in my memory. Verse 24, also your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Verse 35, cause me to go on the path of your commandments, for in it I delight. Verse 47, and I will take delight in your commandments, which I love. Verse 70, their heart is heavy as with fat, but I delight in your law. Verse 77, let your compassions come to me, and I will live, for your law is my delight. You see, again, this is for God's loving seekers, not for letter keepers. This is for his loving seekers. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Verse 174, I have longed for your salvation, O Jehovah, and your law is my delight. Then F, they taste God's word. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. G, they rejoice in God's word. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. As much as in all riches. You know, if you got all riches, let's say you got a lot of riches, you would, in your natural man, you would rejoice, right? But the psalmist says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies or your words as much as in all riches. In verse 111, he says, your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the gladness of my heart. Verse 162. I mean, you just consider the last meeting we had. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the gladness of my heart. Weren't the Lord's testimonies the gladness of Andrew's heart?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I love that. Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Wonderful. Don't you love to see someone who is just filled with gladness because of God's word? Okay, verse 162, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. In other words, I get something in your word, it's like I find great spoil. Now they sing God's word. Verse 54, your statutes have become my songs of praise in the house of my pilgrimage. Saints, we need to sing the hymns, but I think we need more songs of praise by singing the word, don't you? Just sing the word, just make up a tune. You know, Dick does that all the time. He just makes up a tune. He sees a call box and he calls on the name of the Lord. They don't have call boxes, I think, anymore. They used to have call boxes on the freeway. Do they have those? Anyway, he said every time he would drive by one, he would go, oh, Lord Jesus, another call box. But, saints, we need to sing the Word of God. And sing the Word of God in our homes. I says, they regard God's Word. Verse 6 says, then I will not be put to shame when I regard all your commandments. Verse 117 says, hold me up that I may be safe, and I will regard your statutes continually. Jay, they have a perfect heart in God's Word. Verse 80 says, may my heart be perfect in your statutes. This word can be translated this way. May my heart be sincere in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. Then K, they incline their heart to God's word. You know, saints, our hearts can be inclined toward other things. Am I right? Our hearts are inclined this way, inclined that way. But what the psalmist said, praise in verse 36. He prays to the Lord. He says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to unjust gain. We need to ask the Lord to incline our heart to His Word. Then verse 112, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Then L, they seek God's Word. They long for God's Word, and they hope in God's Word with prayer. Now I'll skip down to verse 74. Verse 74 says, those who fear you will see me and rejoice, for I have hoped in your Word. Saints, we need to pray this, that the saints who fear the Lord, the saints who stand in awe of the Lord, the saints who to fear the Lord means fear of offending the Lord, fear of losing His presence. The saints who fear offending the Lord, the saints who fear losing His presence, when they see us, they should rejoice. Right? They shouldn't say, oh no, here comes Brother Ed. Right? When they see me or they see you, Benjamin, they say, praise the Lord, here comes Brother Benjamin. Now, why do they rejoice? Because you hope in God's Word.
Amen.
That is your hope.
Amen.
Then verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. In your Word do I hope. Then verse 147, I love this. I anticipated the dawn and cried out, I hoped in your words.
Amen.
And again, you know I've shared this before, but do we anticipate the dawn? Again, I have to repent when I read this verse. Do I anticipate the dawn? When I wake up at 3 in the morning, do I say, oh Lord, 3 more hours and I'm going to spend time with you, Lord? Or do I go, oh no, there's only 3 more hours left to sleep? The psalmist wasn't like that. He anticipated the dawn and cried out, I hope in your words. In verse 42, it says, thus I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Then end, they muse on God's word. Verse 48 says, I will lift up my hand to your commandments, which I love, and I will muse upon your statutes. Verse 99, we already read, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my musing. Now, verse 148, recently I had to repent. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. It says, my eyes anticipated the night watches that I might muse upon your word. And I said, Lord, do my eyes anticipate the night watches? You know, when I wake up in the night, do my eyes anticipate this so that I can muse upon your word? I had to confess no. And then I have to pray even now, Lord, make me a person whose eyes anticipate the night watches, that I might muse upon your word. Now one says, rich in meaning, the Hebrew word for muse implies to worship, to converse with oneself, and to speak aloud. To muse on the word is to taste and enjoy it through careful considering. And two says, prayer, speaking to oneself, and praising the Lord may also be included in musing on the word. To muse on the word of God is to enjoy his word as his breath, and thus to be infused with God, to breathe God in, and to receive spiritual nourishment. O says, they consider God's word, but I consider your testimonies. This is 95b. Saints, when we read this, don't we see how much the psalmist loved God's word? And we need to pray, Lord, make me a lover of God's word the way the psalmist was in this psalm. I want to love your word in the same way. Constrain me with your love. I want to love you to the uttermost. I want to love your word to the uttermost. I want to be your loving seeker, and I want to be infused with your living substance through your living word. P, they esteem God's word to be right in all things. Verse 121a says, therefore I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. Q says, they learn God's word. Verse 73, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Verse 71, listen to this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Sometimes we come under God's discipline. Sometimes we enter into a state of affliction. Sometimes we enter into an oven situation. Well, to the psalmist's realization, it was good for him that he had been afflicted so that he might learn experientially and subjectively God's word and God's statutes. Or they treasure God's word. Forgive me. I can't help thinking of Brother Lee when I read all of this. You know, Brother Lee said that when he would take time, he was supposed to take time to rest, you know. And he said whenever he would rest, you know, everyone needs to rest, right? So he would rest. But he said every time he would rest, his hand would reach out for the Bible. His hand would just automatically like this. Where does our hand go when we rest? You see? He's so much in the Word, right? As soon as he wakes up, he said he would wake up really early in the morning. And he couldn't get up out of bed because he didn't want to disturb Sister Lee. So for a long time he just mused on the Word of God. He got a lot of light that way. A lot of light. This is the way our brother was. They treasure God's word. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 162, I rejoice at your word. I'm sorry, some of these are repeated. Like one who finds great spoil. Let's see. Okay, let's go to S. They treasure up God's word in their heart. We share this verse. In my heart I have treasured up your word that I might not sin against you. They remember God's word and do not forget it. Verse 52, I have remembered your ordinances from long ago, O Jehovah, and have comforted myself. Saints, thank the Lord for PSRP, right? We pray, read, we study, we recite, and we prophesy. But I always say that first P is the most important letter in PSRP. We need to pray, read the Word. Take the Word by means of all prayer, by various means of prayer. When you really pray over the Word, when you really pray the Word into you, and that Word becomes rhema in you, and you study the Word prayerfully, you recite the Word prayerfully, spontaneously you will prophesy, and that Word will stay in your enlightened memory for your whole life. That is our experience, right? So let's give ourselves to pray, read the Word of God. And it will stay in our memory. And of course, to study, recite, and prophesy. Okay, then you. They stand in awe of God's Word. Verse 161b says, my heart stands in awe of your words. B says, they cling to God's word. Verse 31 says, I cling to your testimonies, O Jehovah. Do not put me to shame. Saints, let's be persons who cling to God's word. W says, they do not forsake God's word. They do not swerve from God's word. They do not turn aside from God's word. And they do not stray from God's word. X says, they turn their feet toward God's word. Verse 59 said, I considered my ways and turned my feet toward your testimonies. Y says, they keep, observe, and do God's word. Verse 33 says, teach me, O Jehovah, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Then verse 69 said, the proud have plastered lies against me. With my whole heart, I will keep your precepts. Finally, Z, they walk in God's word and run the way of God's word. Verse 1 says, blessed are those whose way is perfect, who walk in the law of Jehovah. Then verse 32a says, I run the way of your commandments. This is the functions and blessings of God's law as his living word to his loving seekers. Isn't this marvelous? I just pray, saints, that this inspires us to love the Lord more and to love His Word more. And we will have a sevenfold intensified love for the Lord Jesus and a sevenfold intensified love for His Word that infuses us with His living substance to make us the same as He is in life, nature, and expression, but not in the Godhead, so that we can become the reality of the body of Christ, so that we can be prepared to be His bride, so that we can bring in His kingdom and bring Him back to this earth so that He can recover His title and right over this whole earth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, now let's pray with our neighbor for a minute or so, and then we can have some testimonies.